few things that people may not know about me, but one of them, and it may surprise you, I like good old-fashioned hard rock and roll, too. Absolutely. Yep. It's great to be here once again, and good afternoon, NFBNYS, or NY. And, you know, your president almost always gets it right. I was here for lunch. It was a pleasure. I had an opportunity
to... You were leaving.
Yeah, but I lied.
Yeah. Okay. A state official?
Yeah.
Falsehood?
I had the pleasure, and I think we just missed each other, too, to have an opportunity once again, as I did yesterday, too, to meet with our student division. And indeed, it was a pleasure, and lots of high expectations for our future. So wonderful, wonderful to meet you all. And we are pleased once again to be a platinum sponsor. And we do so in recognizing and congratulating the NFB on 75 years. Wonderful. I want to thank all of you, the NFB, for inviting us in yesterday and once again co-sponsoring with us a public forum. You know, it's always important, it's always critical, and it's dependent on our funding too, to go out and to seek comment. And it is very meaningful for us. And it, as much as it always is, this year we're confronting a pivotal moment in our system, not just here in New York State, and not just for commissions for the blind around the country, but for every public vocational rehabilitation agency and others, will soon be under a set of new regulations. You know, some of them will be the same old ones, but the point is new legislation will bring on new regulations. We've had an opportunity to review and comment nationwide on the draft regulations, but the final ones for the new federal legislation called the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act will not be out until, depending upon who you ask, anywhere from January to April. So right now we're still working to develop plans. We got some good input and feedback from you yesterday. And we still have a lot of work ahead of us in that area and in many others. I want to give a very strong New York Empire State welcome to Gary Wunder. Yep. to Dan Wetzel, if he's here. Dan, yep. Yep.
Back fitting on the Braille device.
And to Bree Brown. I've been in New York most of my life, but I spent some time in South Texas, Bree, and it's a great place to be. Absolutely. Yes. And you know, Gary, recognizing you come not just from Missouri, the land of the royals, but Missouri is also the show me state. And what I want to do today is to show you, Gary, and to show everybody in the room, and many of you know too, how great we are doing together. So you will take back to Missouri, and hopefully you'll now be in ninth place, and we'll be higher, and that way we'll show you as well. And you asked us to show you, and hopefully this convention will. Now, before I go any further, I know each year when I look out into the audience, and when I look around up here on the dais, I see many great leaders in our system. These are leaders in our executive board, leaders in our state rehabilitation council, and you know what? You don't need to be on one of those boards or councils to be a just plain leader, and we've got just a room full of them. Carl, Mindy, David Stayer, Julie Phillipson, Maria Garcia, and a retired devoted member, Luis Mendez, all represent us on our executive board to the Commission for the Blind. Will you all stand up? And I also want to, I said we're all leaders, and though she's, thank you, though she's not on the executive board, quite often we see Commissioner Margot Downey, Commissioner of the Niagara Frontier Transportation Authority. So thank you, Margot. Okay, you can sit. You can sit. What? Oh, no, I'm not done. Oh, yeah. No, I'm not done. I have a list here, Carl. I'm getting on to the State Rehab Council. Absolutely. And recently elected vice chair of our State Rehabilitation Council is Chancey Fleet. I also want to recognize Mindy. You serve in the capacity as a delegate from our executive board to our State Rehabilitation Council. And I also want to recognize Ray Wayne, who, though no longer is on our State Rehabilitation Council, served many years in a leadership role there. So the influence of you, Ray, lives on. And we can't thank you all enough for this. And, you know, I look at, you know, David Steyer, you served on both as well. Is there anybody else I missed who served on both our rehab council and our executive board? Mary Lou Mendez, absolutely, Mary Lou. And you are a co-chair, in fact, two of our state rehab council as well at one point, right? Yep, wonderful. So, you know,
when it was called the RAC.
Yes, when it was called the Rehabilitation Advisory Council, the RAC, yeah, absolutely. But like I said, whether you are on a formal committee or board or not, each and every one of you has had influence, really, in so many ways. Just by being here today and seeing how many people care is influence alone. Now, we have not done this alone. We have done it with our executive board. We have done it with our State Rehabilitation Council. We have done it together. Now, what is it that we have done? Well, for one thing, with your influence and with your inspiration and our philosophy that was there and shared with you already, we were moved to look at subminimum wage in New York State for people with disabilities, not just for people who are blind, but you and we took a stand too, that people with disabilities in New York State and for that matter across the country should never, ever, ever again, the past is the past, but should never one day be that we pay subminimum wage to any person in this country with a disability. And Mike Robinson and I were at Olmsted last year after this convention with great, great encouragement and support from Carl and others to look at the reality in their facility, to look at the reality and the good news that they were disposing of their 14C, but making sure that those who might be impacted by it would not lose their livelihoods. We had some who chose to retire, some who were retained, and some who chose to come back to the Commission for the Blind for placement. But you know, we will not, your inspiration, we will never, ever again sub or contract with anybody who is actively paying subminimum wage. Now here's the reality we face, friends, though, and we have to acknowledge this. Our lawyers, in looking at every possible way that we could refuse to do this, we were able to, but each time along the way, it was tricky for us. And it may never, ever be perfect for us, because the reality is federal law, that 14C, still exists. The only way We will guarantee, and it's not going to be because of our policy. It's limited just because there exists that federal law. So the only way we're going to entirely throw it out of New York State is to get rid of that crazy, stupid law. And until we do that, we can never rest on this issue. So thank you for being leaders with us in here, and really being the supreme leaders who have taught us along the way.
And thank you for being a government agency who listens.
And you know, you also pushed us on expanding our business enterprise program, and Commissioner Downey and Julie Phillipson and others have been very, very great supports in encouraging this. I am very, very pleased to announce that, and what a coincidence this was. We struggled for years to be able successfully to implement legislation that Governor Patterson signed in 2010, on October 1st, 2010, to open up opportunities far and wide. And Commissioner Downey and Julie helped us to get into one of those entities. And we appreciate that. And that was a major, major step for us. We have a small foot in the door in other places as well. But now we are getting a large foot in the door. And I had mentioned that this was October 1st, 2010, that the legislation was signed. And we didn't plan it this way. It was coincidence. And it was too darn long. But nonetheless, on October 1st, 2015, the day that legislation happened to be 5 years old, coincidentally, we got our first opportunity on a SUNY campus with the promise of SUNY campuses being open to the business enterprise program as contracts expire. So within months, for the first time, we will be doing vending services on a SUNY campus, and that SUNY campus will be in the Bronx at SUNY Maritime. And you know, we need every opportunity we can get because we know the threats to our system, the struggles we have all together, including our own system, in creating jobs, in assisting individuals to maintain jobs that are in jeopardy due to vision loss or lack of equipment or whatever it may be. But as we continue to struggle to do so, nonetheless, for every year since 2009, including the federal fiscal year that just ended, the New York State Commission for the Blind has increased the employment outcome once again to the tune of close to 5%. There are 24 commissions for the blind around the country. And we can boast being the Commission for the Blind, the longest one in full federal compliance. Wow. Once again, this past year, we were in full federal compliance. We love to partner with you. We love to partner with you on the Bell program. We are so proud of that. The presentation today was so wonderful. My biggest regret in all of it was I was not able to come up or down to one of those programs this summer. I certainly intend to and hope to next year for sure to see this wonderful, successful program. We are very proud to continue our sponsorship of Newsline. And I'm not sure if we're in year two yet or not, but we've got a five-year contract now, don't we? Entering three, and we got a five-year contract, so yeah. We got some more time coming as well. And I got to tell you, Carl, until you said it this morning, I had no clue that, and I don't remember exactly what the timing was, but in the recent past, you've calculated that support from the Commission for the Blind to the National Federation of the Blind has been about $2 million. Wow. But you know something? That money was well invested and well spent. It was used to educate people, to give individuals, blind people, access to news, to classified ads, for jobs. And you know, I ask nonetheless, all these great things that we've done together, is it enough?
No.
No. You know, we built our house together, my dear friends. We have a strong foundation that we build. The commission didn't do this alone. We did it with you, and we built this foundation. We built it together, and you know, we've managed to take that strong foundation and from the ground build maybe two, maybe three stories high. But you know, let's continue to do it so we can together erect a skyscraper. And you know, it's more than just money. And I am so glad that we are sharing our wealth with you. But it's more than just money, it's conviction. Together we understand about that sub-minimum wage. Together we understand about the importance of Braille. We understand about the importance of school, of schools not saying, hey, you know what? You're legally blind, you got partial sight, you don't need Braille. We know better. So, you know, we've got convictions, we've got them together, we share many of the same ideas. And you know, many, many years ago, I was in a different place myself. I didn't quite understand everything that I needed to. I had a lot to learn. And I'm looking here in this audience today, and I'm looking here on this dais, and I'm saying I had a lot of darn good teachers out there, and I want to thank you for that. And
you were a tough student, but I'm glad you learned.
Thank you, Carl. And you know, we have so much to do together, and you are so good at challenging us. And we have responded in many ways. And we are getting better, and we are getting better together. Now, I want to give you a bit of a challenge. Yeah. Now, one of the many philosophies we share that you have also educated us on and me on is not just the importance of mobility instructors, but the reality that blind people can do the job and do it well. Yeah. We all recognize, we all acknowledge, and we all know that there is a crisis in vision rehabilitation specialists today. We try to recruit, we try to establish programs, and we do have programs. But our recruitment efforts that we are all responsible for together have failed. The future in that way looks dim when we have many, many bright things in our future. So we are committed to repopulating the field. We can't do it alone. We need to do more than just talk about it, and the Commission for the Blind is working to establish a program at University of Buffalo right now. But I look at you today, and I say, we will not populate that program without you. We will not populate that program without your support. We need you to help us to go out there and to identify individuals, including and especially individuals who are blind, and get them into the business. We haven't done enough. And I challenge you today by saying, in that area, or I ask you at least, have you done enough? We've got to do this together. We've got to recruit, and we will. We were talking before about more accessibility, and Bree and others have reminded us of that. Not that we needed any reminders. But on accessibility, which is such an amorphous thing, I mean, it's so big, it's not just technology. It's a lot more than that too, but technology, of course, is pretty much at the top of that list nonetheless. On that one, we all have to do better too. But you know it, you get it. You have this great center down in Baltimore, which I hope to visit one day, and other types of things. So you know, you also know how to put your money where your mouth is. But you know, still, this is a system we all share together. This is a system, the foundation that we've been building together. And we need to continue to create greater access for everybody of all ages. Some of it'll take money, some of it'll take ingenuity, and it'll take a lot of hard work, which will never really end for any of us. And that's too why the future generations, it's so important for us to recruit for, not just for mobility instructors and others, but also for leaders in general in our field. I think your national president and Mr. Wonder, if you can bring this back from the great Empire State here, there are a lot of people who look at your president, Mark Riccobono, and say, what a wonderful, insightful gentleman he is. And we had an opportunity to host him here in New York State a couple years ago. I think it was here in Albany, if I'm not mistaken. He really, really had a very strong message. And right around the time he was entering into the presidency, and his thinking has been one that as I read what he writes and I listen and I do watch a video here and then of what he says and how he says it, I'm very impressed. I'll tell you what I'm also very impressed by. I'm very impressed by the seven principles, or the principles of reform. The NFB was one of six or seven leaders in this country, and you were at the top of the list of the seven reform principles that relate to something we know of as Ability One, Source America, National Industries for the Blind. And those principles suggest that as long as we have the manufacturing sites, which the Commission for the Blind does actively support, they have to be productive, they have to offer upward mobility to those who would like to approach other jobs, if that's their choice. We have to work at that. I firmly believe that on these issues, not only does New York State lead today, but if we don't continue to refine this program, to strengthen it, and to make sure, and continue to make sure that, again, that there's no subminimum wage there, and that the conditions, which I am convinced of, are humane and wonderful. We want to work with the NFB so that New York State continues to be the most progressive state in this country on these issues. We are right now, but you know what? We have a lot more to do in order to get even more in line with what we need to get to and have a stronger program. In New York State, we have State Finance Law 162, in which we manufacture products which are sold to state agencies. As long as we have that state finance law, we will continue, as we are required by law, to support it. But we need to support it with the principles that you put forth, that we share together, to make these environments the strongest, most humane, most inviting that they can be, including, and I repeat, to offer upward mobility to those who are working in these shops right now, if that's their choice. And so we, the Commission for the Blind, are dedicated to redoubling our, and we've already started, to work harder with National Industries for the Blind to make sure that these programs are managed and administered the way that we at the Commission for the Blind expect them to be. So, I also want to point out as well something that I will admit is not only just coming onto my radar screen, but I think a lot of us together are realizing a sad reality. And I know a few of these individuals. I've only gotten to know them in the last few years, and there are stories that are absolutely tragic. Now, there's a theory or a rumor out there that the New York State Commission for the Blind does not serve people with vision loss who are in nursing homes. The truth of the matter is that we do, but we do so only on a limited basis, and we do so only if we ever become aware that there is an individual with vision loss in those nursing homes who shouldn't be there because they're capable of living and thriving in a less restrictive environment. And the New York State is very serious in its implementation of the Olmstead Act in order to create an environment where there are no restrictions in terms of a person living with a disability, whatever that disability may be, in a setting that's, again, that's just too restrictive for them, when an individual can be more independent. And I dare say, I know of an individual, not with vision loss, but who languished for years unnecessarily in a nursing home, and almost within weeks after his release, he found employment. I know that can be the facts for our community. I know a few who are in there, and you know something? When you know a few, and it's only one or two nursing homes, oh man, you gotta know that this is out there everywhere. We have a moral obligation to work together to be able to look at this. So I will continue to challenge the National Federation of the Blind, our executive board, our State Rehabilitation Council, our Commission for the Blind, I think I said the National Federation of the Blind, in the coming months and years to look together at this issue. And I want other partners like the American Council of the Blind and other leading organizations, advocacy organizations, so that we can hold our own state accountable for the principles that we ourselves have asserted, including that 10% of the nursing home population will, in theory, be found into less restrictive environments. And I would be certain that a significant portion of that 10%, as I said, are people with vision loss, are blind people who are unnecessarily languishing in these nursing homes. So again, I challenge all of us as a next frontier and is trying to erect that skyscraper, let's look together and figure out ways that we could address the situation to the best of our abilities. You know, my friends, as I conclude my remarks, and I will defer to whether I can take questions or not, but I want you to know the following, my friends. It's your obligation, I think, as very, very valued stakeholders in our system, as I think that you have done and demonstrated at this convention and in conventions past, but I think it's very critical if I can give you this metaphor. I think what you must do and all of our stakeholders must do is continue to do the following. Embrace us with one arm and hammer us with the other. That way, my friends, the system will improve. We will build upon what we've all built upon together, and in no time at all, and hopefully by the next generation, all together we will have erected that skyscraper. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. In keeping with my Norse heritage, I shall recruit Thor as a member of this organization. Also, let me follow up one or two questions with you for accepting your challenge, by the way. I've accepted every one of your challenges, mm-hmm. because there's no moral way that I could turn them down. The challenge of recruiting more blind O&Ms. Mostly O&Ms in this state are hired by private agencies. I don't think you have, except by accident or two, an O&M. Like Joe's an O&M, but he doesn't work as an O&M for you. Mm-hmm. He works in other capacities.
Right.
You don't employ directly any O&Ms.
Yes, we do.
And they go out and do O&M service?
Yes, they do, absolutely.
And do you have open items?
Yes, we do. We have one open item in White Plains right now.
Okay, so you could theoretically hire a blind person there.
Oh, absolutely. In fact,
but that won't solve the problem.
No, it won't. In fact, we believe that we did have a candidate, a blind candidate, but that never materialized.
Okay, I guess the question I have for you is, how can you use your bully pulpit or gentle persuasion or your Thor technique to convince the private agencies that they should be doing the same thing as you are, because they don't hire too many blind O&Ms.
But, you know, here's the truth, Carl, and please, if I'm wrong, correct me. I think part of the issue just is that blind mobility instructors are not in the field in New York State.
They're not, because it's an unfriendly state. Except you are friendly. You are an exception.
But I'm also...
Thank God you're an exception.
You know, maybe... I appreciate that what you're saying. I must think about it. But, you know, and I do. You're right. I mean, that's my point, too.
Because it's a compliment?
But seriously, I ask, as long as I ask myself, too, what have we done, I'm asking as well, what have you done? So... We have a lack of mobility instructors in the state, whether blind or sighted. Mm-hmm. We have to recruit. Yeah. We also have to recruit, because the truth of the matter is, you're right, the mobility instructors we see in New York State are sighted. They can't all be sighted. They cannot be all sighted for many reasons. We need to improve our recruitment efforts. But I just don't see them in the state, and I will buy that we have been unfriendly to that then.
Not you.
Okay, we as a state, whatever.
As a state, okay, not the commission.
But I will also say, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, I've had these discussions with these private agencies mm-hmm. as well. If the pool was out there, I am convinced they would be hired by our private agencies, but the pool is not out there.
Right, in that case, the job falls to people like Dan and Pam and Julie.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have a commitment from one director to try.
Yep, absolutely. And,
Dan,
it's interesting. You had an impressive list of all types of jobs in all types of sectors. And while I did note about that mobility instructor, I also note, too, that while we have had successful placements and very successful outcomes in the NFB centers, I will also say that I don't think that we are necessarily in New York State a wealth of referrals to these centers. Let me tell you one reason why and give you an offer and an invitation. You know, a lot of our referrals are to the Carroll Center. And I know we have been criticized by the NFB in the past, and we've accepted that criticism because the facts are the facts. But you know something, the Carroll Center comes in twice, two or three times a year to visit our district offices to talk to our counselors. They come in at least once a year, and I kid you not, I got an email today while I was at this convention from the Carroll Center asking if they could come for their periodic meeting with us. So, Dan, we offer to you, as we offer to Sean, and she was about to take us up on that offer. Pam Allen as well from Louisiana, and many of our staff, including Joe Nye, who you mentioned before, have been down to Louisiana to view. And he came back, in fact, and said, and this is our policy too, if, you know, I think there are a lot of myths out there about the NFB. I think there are myths about the Commission for the Blind, and anybody who says we do not support structured discovery and blindfolds is a mistake, and we absolutely do. So we would be more than happy to take advantage of the wonderful, we know because we get the great feedback from those who go and attend, the wonderful feedback from the centers that we need to work together to recruit more people who are in need to go to the NFB centers. So the invitation is open to you, Dan, to Pam, and I apologize, I don't know the director in Colorado, Joanne?
Julie,
for any or all of you to come visit our state. We will take you to our district offices, let you meet our staff and talk about.
And we will even accompany them.
Yes.
So we can hear what you're telling them.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, the truth of the matter is, the Carroll Center is in our state all the time. And I recognize geographically they're closer. Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely, Dan.
Please do, Dan.
Mm-hmm. Get up there and you know,
Oh, wonderful, Dan. A clap to you. Thank you.
Next. Don't give us a challenge, Brian. We accept. Neville.
Neville.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're not too far from his office, but it's Friday afternoon.
Yeah, I'm going to
Saturday afternoon, I'm sorry.
I'm going to say something about the BEP program. Mm-hmm. I recently retired, in fact, almost 2 years now from the BEP program in 2013 December. And I got to say this to Brian. This is the best program that blind people can possibly be involved in. In fact, it's the best program that anybody, blind or whatever, can ever be involved in. It really works. I only wish that there were the staff of the Commission for the Blind would be more enthusiastic about expressing that opinion to blind people. Okay. The second thing is that when I retired 2 years ago, I had a troubling experience. I came in on the 13th of December. It was a Friday. And the security people said, Neville, we have got to search you, you know, pat you down and everything. And I said, okay, what happened? They said, well, there's a new person at the top of the security agency, and they say that anybody who comes in who is not a staff member has to be searched. I said, okay, I've only been coming 10 years, 10, 11 years in that facility, but it's okay. So I went to the office, and I called the office in Manhattan, and I said, "This is we need to do something about this, because I'm leaving in 2 weeks, you know, but we want to make sure that whoever comes in is not subjected to this type of thing. Every day they've got to walk through a screen and be radiated every single day." I was told that that not much could be done because that agency was hard to work with, but I could call the person over there and find out what could be done. I called the office of the security people, and they told me a strange thing. They said to me, we are not, that is the BEP, is not on the list of recognized agencies that they give such privileges to. I was totally shocked. Okay, so I say this to you. So I left after 1 week. I didn't even complete my 2 weeks, okay, because I was so annoyed. Mm-hmm. Not because so much of me personally, but I thought that we should be more respected by these agencies. And I thought that this is something that I would convey to you whenever I came up against you again. And I'm doing so now because I would like to know what can be done to make sure that these agencies do respect us as an agency.
Yeah. Absolutely. I thank you, Neville. I appreciate those comments. And so for one thing, the reality is in certain buildings too, especially post 9/11, security has become so strict that there are times when delivery companies to our stores may change a person. So you might have John Doe who has security clearance there, but the next day Jane Doe comes and she can't get in, and she, you know, and these companies can't have a consistent person. They have high turnover, and some of the realities that we're facing right now, sadly and tragically, not just here but around the country, for security reasons, are very, very much harming our program. In terms of the way that our counseling staff promotes the program, we recognize that we must continue to remind and inform all of our staff about the Business Enterprise Program. It does seem to me that in past years there was a little bit, those who refer to the program, it was a little bit more robust than it is today. And we do have a lot of young new counselors as well that that really we need to continue to have them understand the program. And one of the things that we do is to encourage, and we do have counselors to this day, a few, not too many, who have still have not gone into a BEP facility. So there are still some things and frontiers that admittedly we need to be able to enter and to continue to enhance this program. Because of some of that reality, Neville, of the security, it becomes even more critical for us now to look at new opportunities like on SUNY campuses so we can continue to expand this program, because honestly and tragically, some of the security issues that you describe and others are not necessarily going to go away tomorrow. What we need to do as well, too, is give an education to some of these agencies. And we probably need our own education as well, so that we all can do better in the future.
It's my hope, and I'll say this just shortly. It's my hope now, with the recent changes, particularly in the southern region, that the new grade 23 supervisor there will make some changes that were never made before with her predecessor. You might get an honest day's work with some respect for blind people out of there. That office had little, if any, respect for us.
Well,
that's an opinion. You don't have to comment.
Well, I won't comment on that. I will comment on Kimberly Barnes, who I think you're referring to as our new district supervisor down there. She is absolutely outstanding. And she just recruited another new specialist I just met a couple weeks ago up here. Her name is Rachel Multari. She has a lot of experience, not all of it in food service, which is very interesting. She brings to a fresh perspective, and we're very excited about it. So, changes down there in our southern BEP. Yes.
Other questions for Brian? Arthur? I didn't hear Mendez. Was that Luis? Oh, Mary Lou. You caught it from Luis? Oh, my God. I will. Mary Lou, go ahead.
Thanks, Arthur. Brian, can you make any commitments for commission support for Bell programs this coming summer?
Let's talk.
We'll talk. We'll talk.
We will do everything that we can, Mary Lou. We definitely should talk about what that means, what it looks like. In part, while we'll be committed to that, you've got ambitions too, and we want to understand and see how our support can fit into those ambitions.
They'll fit
yes.
in. They'll fit
okay.
in.
Okay. Very
they'll
good.
In. Mary Lou, let's talk to him. They'll fit. Yes. They'll fit into his ambitions. I've heard those answers before. We'll make it work. Others? Arthur, did you really want it?
Yes.
Okay.
Going back to the need for O&M instructors, I just wanted to verify that the state will accept credentials from both certifying bodies. The NOMC as well as
right.
the AERs.
I would have to go back and check. That's a good question,
Joe said,
Arthur.
Joe said the requirements are written that way. For you, yeah. Back when we were looking at supporting the licensure bill,
yep.
Joe looked at your requirements for hiring O&Ms, and they will accept any accrediting body,
okay.
any recognized accrediting body.
Okay.
So the answer to Arthur's question would be yes.
Okay. And right. Joe Nye is the one who reviews the resumes and the credentials of the individual. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
That's where we put it in. That's where we insisted on it being the bill.
Yep. And
the commission has it already.
And Joe. Who might have been a mobility instructor who learned over 30 years ago, is progressive, he's enlightened, and along with you, he was also an influence on me in terms of fully understanding and grasping the necessity of having blind people in that position. So Joe is a real supporter of that too, a real supporter.
Cheryl. By the way, we have time for two more questions, folks, and then maybe some of us need a break.
I said this to Brian after he spoke yesterday, and we've all asked the commission to help us, mm-hmm. but I said that we, on personal note, I challenged the commission not once but twice, Once when I went for medical billing, and once I went for an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. We need to challenge the commission, because if we want different jobs, we have to bring it to you, and your counselors need to work with us. Mm-hmm. So that's just a comment I wanted to stress to other people in the room who said, you know, what's out there besides call centers?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, you know, there's a lot of things out there. We just have to challenge the commission to work with us and our dreams.
Thank you, Cheryl. And, you know, let me comment, too. Like everybody in this room, with your comments, you bring a lot of credibility with you. I'm aware of your, you know, what you're referring to, very much so. And you are the absolute model of a blind business owner. And I thank you for that.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
We got in the back, I think, Mike?
Yeah, I'll get you in a second, Jim. I think what Cheryl's, I'll comment on Cheryl's comment in a few minutes. Jim, go ahead.
People who want to go to Louisiana Center for the Blind, well, how come some of them go to the Carroll Center?
Well, as I was saying before, seriously, a lot of it is because the recruitment efforts in New York State from the Carroll Center are very, very strong. There's also something called consumer choice. And how consumers learn about the Carroll Center, you know, I'm not out there every day or in the offices intimately every day to know how many people might be coming saying, send me to the Carroll Center versus I think I'm an appropriate candidate for residential rehabilitation services but don't know where to go, tell me where to go. I honestly at this point don't know what the percentage or breakdown, so to speak, would be, but I think it's important for our counselors to be able to know everything that's out there so that they can do the jobs that they are responsible for to provide counseling, guidance, and information on the programs that are indeed out there. And again, we should know better, because the success rate of those who return to New York State from these NFB centers is great. But again, We definitely encourage you to advertise with us like the Carroll Center does, just to be blunt. I think in many of those cases, we've seen success. Also, some of the programs, really, they're just 8-week programs. There are certain technology programs. They offer a lot of things, not just your, the 6 months, so to speak, or whatever it may be, residential rehabilitation program. Some of these, I think as they are in the NFB, are tailored to the individual alone, but, they do quite a bit of that, too, in Boston.
Yeah, I would suggest that call center, two things, the call centers and the Carroll Center. Mm-hmm. You can talk about client choice all you want, but unless clients know their choices, there's no choice. Mm-hmm. So your staff needs to be saying, "Call center, there's more than the Carroll Center. There's A, B, C, and D here too," and that's partially Dan's responsibility and Julie and Sean and Pam's responsibility to give your counselors the knowledge of the other options that are there. Mm-hmm. If your counselors don't know, I can't fault them. I can fault them when they know, and they try to steer clients elsewhere. Then I fault them. I don't fault them for ignorance.
Well, you know,
and one more thing with the call centers. The call center seems right now to be the workshop du jour.
Yes.
It's the placement. It's the quick and easy 26. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, there are a lot more opportunities than call centers.
Let me tell you something, Carl. Just let me be real blunt.
Please do.
I've spoken about this issue with the NFB in the past, and Cheryl and I, we were talking about this yesterday as well. And I've said, and I'll say it again, and I'm just going to be real blunt here. One of my biggest fears is that call centers will become, or already have become, this generation's chair caning or this generation's piano tuning. Yeah. And I get concerned that somebody will say, "Oh, you're blind. Not all is lost. You can work. You can go to the call center." I get concerned, and I fear that. And I also get concerned that the reason we're underpopulated with blind mobility instructors is because they're working at a call center, and they don't know that they can be mobility instructors. I couldn't agree more. I will be honest. I've had these conversations in the past, and I am ready to move forward on this to be able to say call center is one of many, 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 many options, but I never, ever, as director of the State Commission for the Blind, never want my legacy to be that these call centers are what I leave behind as chair caning or piano tuning.
We accept your challenge. We accept your partnership. We welcome your friendship. And we thank you for your time with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'll see you at banquet.
Yes, sir. You sure will. Yep. There's a hand over this table, folks. Thank you.